for a few minutes first, though. And I was going to say to David, when you're 94 years old and you've preached for 70 years, you can define what brief is. And us young whippersnappers just sit respectfully and listen and learn a lot from it. It was about 40 years ago that my wife and I moved into Northern Virginia with our children, and we planted a church, Heritage Baptist Church. And it was very different back then. You didn't have a team supporting you. We just knew that's where God wanted us, and we moved there. And it was a couple of weeks after our first service that Brother Thompson heard we were there. We were about 10 or 12 miles south of him over the river. And one of the first calls from a preacher that I received in Northern Virginia was Brother Wayne Thompson. And his message was, I'm for you, and if there's a way I can help you, we'll help you. And from that moment on, we've had a 40-year friendship that I value very, very much. I don't like COVID at all, but I really hate COVID for not allowing him to be here. I've looked forward very much to seeing he and Mrs. Thompson. What I'm about to say now, I don't say everywhere I go, but I'm going to say it here, and it's as honest as the day is long. I just love this church. I love a lot of things about this church. I love Preacher, and one of the things I love about Preacher is how many good, strong men and women are able to serve here and be used of the Lord here. I want to tell you, I love that. I love seeing how so many people are involved, and that grows because he's secure in his walk with the Lord, and he is a discipler. And that's a tremendous gift as a pastor. I love to see that. And then I love the music. I like the music at Fellowship Baptist Church. I don't know who all does it, but I sure do like it. And that song with all of you lined up here, other than one or two of those men's voices, I thought that was beautiful. Man, that was beautiful. That was just perfect. And the opening choir hymn and then that solo. I'll tell you what, if we moved that down to South Carolina, that would have got some bells rung, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would have been a little bit different. But it is just such an honor to be here. And listen, I know what time it is. I don't care, but I know what time it is. And I just want you to know that. I'm going to be very careful with my time, and I invite you to turn Romans chapter 10, would you? Romans chapter 10. I'm going to kick it into high gear, so you listen fast and I'll preach fast. Romans 10, and let's begin reading in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that this morning? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this morning and thankful for this opportunity. I truly thank you for this church and just the joy and the ministry that is done through this place. Lord, we gather here this morning because we are truly needy people. And we want to and we need to hear from your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray now for these next few moments you would speak to us. Take your word and apply it to our hearts. Help us to see truth. And then, Lord, when we see truth, help us to be moved to obey what that truth tells us to do in our lives. I pray that Faith Promise Missions would grow as a result of our time together, for it surely is your heart. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll make a statement I think is absolutely the truth. It is God's heart to reach the world with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We've learned that verse since we were in children in Sunday schools. I think there's lost people that know that verse. It is simply God's heart. So great is His desire for this world to be saved that He sacrificed what was most precious to Him. He gave us His Son. Now, it is God's heart to win this world, to redeem this world, but it is our job. Because God goes on to say, okay, I've given my Son, whosoever believes on Him, boy, they can have eternal life, but He says, ye go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in an incredible way, our being involved in efforts for missions, defined as reaching the world for Jesus Christ, is the closest we will ever get to the heart of God. God wants men and women to be saved, and when we give ourselves to that, when we give our resources, when we give our time, when we give our persons to that, whether it's leading somebody to the Lord here in Madison County or whether it's participating in reaching a lost world in so many vast and different places, it is the closest we can get to God's heart. And I'll be honest with you, I think it pleases Him to see a church and us as individuals to be involved in what we're being involved or involving ourselves in this week. And so we have a missions conference because we're trying to express God's heart and we're trying to inspire people to do what God wants them to do. But I've learned a long time ago that I can't make people do anything and preacher can't make people do anything. And though we sometimes, I hear, well, you're the pastor, you can make that. No, you really can't. But I want to tell you, everyone in this room needs to be involved in what is happening at Fellowship Baptist Church this week. And so I think to myself, well, is there some gimmick? Is there some program? Is there some way that we can coerce or convince? What do we have to do to convince people this is God's heart and this is our responsibility? And all we can do is inform and try to inspire, but if you're going to be involved, it's a decision between you and God. But I'll say this, that if you're going to be involved, it'll be because you become convinced of the truth of the Word of God. I saw an organization that had as their motto, be the cause. Now, it was a secular organization, and I won't tell you what it was because I don't want you to be in their cause. But I thought to myself, man, is that a great thought for a missions conference? Be the cause. I don't know if you've noticed it, but in our generation of church going, we are drifting more and more to a selfish and spectator perspective than to an others and participator perspective. We go to church for our own reasons sometimes, and we think that God is responsible to bless us, and God exists for our good and nothing more than for our good. But I want you to understand that God exists, we exist so that we can bring God glory, and we exist so that we can do what God has given us to do, accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in this life and on this earth. And at some point, we've got to say, I can't just watch it happen. I've got to be involved in it happening. I can't just wish it would happen. I've got to come to the place where with what I can do and with what I have, I will be the cause that the work of God goes on. I will be the cause that our missions program grows. I will be the cause with what I do that we can take on new missionaries and get them to the field. And I'm no longer going to be satisfied with wishing it would happen and wishing somebody would get the burden and wishing somebody would answer the call and see the need. I will be the cause. Well, what brings us to that point? And as I said, the only thing that will bring us to that point is, do we believe the Word of God or not? Now, I simply want to ask you three elementary questions this morning, and I'll ask them quickly. And by the way, I'll answer them for you too, okay? Here's number one. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Look at verse 13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, listen, anybody in this room this morning that knows Christ as their Savior ought to believe that's true. And they ought to have a testimony of it being true in their own life. I wish I had time this morning to give you my testimony, because I think it's proof that God can save anybody. I heard this morning part of Brother Tingston's testimony, and I was rejoicing. I don't care if you're born in the Philippines and raised in Australia and come to the States or go to camp in Australia, or if you're born in Kentucky. I didn't think anybody from Kentucky could get saved, but evidently they can. And if you're from Kentucky and you end up in Ohio and you end up someplace else, and here's the truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the truth. And I don't care what color you are, and I don't care what your culture is, and I don't care what your language is. The message, the truth of the gospel is for every man and every woman that has ever walked on this earth. Man, there's a million religious messages in our world. You know, worship at this place, follow this philosophy. There's a million names, Buddha and Confucius and Muhammad. I was in a missions conference not long ago, preacher, with a missionary family going to Nepal. And in Nepal, they have 3.5 million gods that they can call upon. Well, you talk about variety. But here's the truth. I don't care how big the cathedral, I don't care how ornate the service, I don't care how many gods are out there, there is only one name. There is only one man. There is only one way that a person can be saved, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, 45 minutes south of here, there is an international university, and they come up with some great stuff, I'm sure. And the world looks at UVA or Virginia Tech or all the great colleges of our nation, and they think, boy, that's where the world changers are going to come from. Man, that's where that's going to be developed, or that's going to be developed. But can I tell you the truth? The people that are most likely to change this world are sitting on Gate Road at Fellowship Baptist Church, because we know that man, we know that name, and we take that message, and the world can be changed from the inside out in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, do we really believe that? There was a day that Paul sat in the city of Troas, and he was sitting in the city of Troas because he had tried to go to Asia, and he tried to go further into Asia Minor, and the Holy Spirit just kept putting roadblocks. No, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. He comes back to the city of Troas, and that night, in a dream, God gives him a vision, and in that vision is a man from Macedonia. Now, let's just do a little geography lesson. He's in Turkey, Asia Minor, and that man's in Greece across the Adriatic Sea. And that man is saying, come over and help us, come over and help us. And Paul senses in that vision that God is sending him from one continent to another continent. And to get there, you got to buy a ticket and get on a boat and go across the sea. And I don't know about you, but it wasn't like it is today. I might have been intimidated by that call. And Paul woke up that next morning and he had a decision to make. And he had this decision to make. He didn't know how to get over there. He didn't know what was waiting over there. It wasn't a culture that perhaps had arms wide open. It wasn't going to be easy to travel. But he said this to himself, I believe. He said, God laid it on my heart. I will be the cause that the gospel jumps an ocean, jumps the Adriatic, goes to a new continent, and aren't you glad that he decided to do that? Because follow that on down the line, and you and I got the gospel because it went to Europe, because it came to America, and because it came to Kentucky. And God ain't done doing that.
Amen. That's right.
And that there is good Kentucky preaching. God ain't done doing that.
Amen.
God's still able to cross oceans. I was sitting there thinking a moment ago, geographically, Australia's the furthest, maybe, I think it might be further than Fiji. And Fiji might be the most unlike our culture. Dude, I don't want to go where you're going. Now you're like, all I do is go to church, and so I smile at church because it's all, if I'm going to have fun, I got to have fun at church. And yeah, I called him dude. He's going to New York City to reach Muslims. One of the great cities of our world that is probably disintegrating at a faster rate than any other city in our world right now. And he has to wake up every morning and Mrs. Stalk up with him, and they have to say, will we be the cause? Man, it's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's not conducive to what we want for our lives as far as ease. But there is a need, and they wake up and they say, I will be the cause that Muslims walking the dirty streets of New York City have introduced to them a message of hope that Jesus Christ loves them. Now those are the names we know, but somebody needs to send them. I want you to notice the second question. Do you believe that those Muslims, those Aussies, those Fijians need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not only can God save whoever will trust Him, call on Him, there's no other way. I don't care how advanced their culture is. I don't care how rich their country is. I don't care how beautiful the scenery is. There is no other way to be saved. We need to be careful in our independent fundamental Baptist realms, because I see a growing concern. Our world is afflicted by a million evil, sad things. But churches like this and churches like mine need to understand that the greatest need is not solving the ill of the day. It is preaching to the soul of the man so that he can have heaven. I was preaching like this one day, and a man came up afterwards, and his intentions were not kind. He came up to me and he said, hey preacher, can a man eat a Bible? And I said, no, I don't suspect he can. But I said, can a man go to heaven with a medical clinic in his town? I wasn't trying to be mean, and I am for any method that will help get us access to lost men and women. I'm not against medical missions. But what I am saying to you is there is a world out there that is focused on that, and there are very few of us who understand that if we make life comfortable, you still die and go to hell. And the greatest need this world has is not a clinic. It is not a farm. The greatest need this world has is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear the truth. And churches like ours need to be the vehicle for preachers to be sent to preach the gospel. And I'm convinced of this, because the commission is evangelism, and because the commission is baptism, and because the commission is to teach them to observe all the things that He's commanded us to do, we don't just send an evangelist to evangelize, we send a preacher to plant a church that can be a discipling mission from then on. We need to send, plant, church, planting missionaries. It needs to be our focus. It's not what the millennials are calling for, but it's what our world desperately needs. I was thrilled yesterday when I saw the philosophy of Fellowship Baptist Church 70-20-10, where 70% of the missions money collected here recognizes the need that the world needs churches. To plant churches, because they must hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third and quickly, do you believe that God wants to enable others to go? I believe that if they hear the gospel, they can be saved. I believe they have to hear. Do you believe that God wants us as a church to enable others to go? Look at verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Did you know that's why we're convening in a missions conference this week? We're convening for the purpose of sending. You ever heard of the gift of helps? The gift of helps, I love it. Now, I am convinced, if you disagree with me, please keep it to yourself. I have the gift of pastor teacher. I think I can teach the Word of God, and I love that. I don't think I'm real gifted in administration, but I've learned and have worked at it. I wish I had the gift of gaining wealth and giving. I give, but I'd love that gaining wealth part, wouldn't you? I could go on, and I don't mean to. Here's what I mean. After pastoring in the ministry for 43 years, do you know who the people I love? I love the people who are blessed with the gift of helps. At Heritage Baptist Church, we'd have church on Sunday days. We'd have 1,000 people there. And we'd have the preacher would get up and I would preach. Oh, I preached a great message. I love my preaching. And people would go out the door and they'd say, that was a fine message, that was a fine message. And we'd have people that would lead the singing and sing, and man, they did it well, and they would be commended for their singing, and I could go on and on. But you know what? All of that happened because we had some ladies over in a room watching screaming babies for an hour and a half. And nobody knew their name. And nobody commended them. But the entire ministry worked because of them. I could go on and on about the people who prepare the banquets and do the dishes, and the people who prepare the communion plates, and about the people who mow the lawn and fix the things that go wrong, and nobody ever knows it, and nobody ever sees it, and they never stand at the door and shake their hand. Wonderful grass-cutting job yesterday there. Nobody knows it, but they do it, and it contributes to ministry. Amen. You're not going to get a prayer card that says Deku Fiji. And by the way, his daddy's a friend of mine, his brother's a friend of mine. If there was ever a legacy of ministry, I love the Deku family. You're never going to get a Tingson card where you get to list your anniversaries and your birth dates and everybody takes it and prays for you. You know what we are? Us. And I left the stall cups out, so I'll put them in there too. We're the people that hold the ropes. Nobody knows that we increased our faith promise when it was hard. Nobody knows that we were faithful to give all of the weeks of that year when really we had a need we weren't expecting that presented itself. Nobody knows that we sent those cards or those emails. Nobody knows that we prayed for that family in our family altar, round with our kids, and taught them what those missionaries' names were and what the needs were. Nobody saw it. Nobody knew it. But here's the truth. God is recording it, and it is the help and holding the rope that allows these people on the prayer cards to do what they do on these mission fields, and it all matters. Missions matters. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not. And here's the question. Will you be the cause? There was a day that David was instructed by his father, take these things out to your brothers. They're out at the battle. And David collected the things his dad wanted him to take, and he took them out. He made the journey to the Valley of Elah. And when he got to Elah, he saw that the Philistines were arrayed on one side of the valley and Israel was arrayed on this side. And he arrived there in time one morning to hear this giant, this just depraved and profane giant who came down from the armies of Philistines and stood in that valley and just began to curse Jehovah God and began to curse kings and the people of Israel, and he was just profane and ugly and vile. And David, as a young man, stood there and he looked up and down the row of the parapets of the Israeli soldiers. And he looked as far as he could see, and some of them didn't even have the courage to look over and see what was going on. And others were looking there and looking back and forth, thinking somebody ought to go take care of that. Somebody ought to do something about that. And Saul was in his tent, and the princes were in their tents, and everybody just watched, and nobody answered the call. And David stood up in that moment, and he pronounced, "Is there not a cause?" Let me translate that for you. Shouldn't somebody go down and confront this? Shouldn't somebody deal with this? And David decides, "No one else will, I shall." And you know the rest of the story, don't you? God went with him. And the giant, he came a-tumbling down. Let me give you my conclusion. I'm almost done. You know what I'm seeing more and more and more in our churches? I'm seeing people that wish somebody would. I wish somebody would go. We see the need. We hear the call. Somebody's got to reach Muslims in New York City, but I'm from the country. Were you born in New York City, Brother Stalkup? Huh? Thank the Lord, huh? Amen. I was going to say, were you born in Fiji, but I'm afraid of the answer. It's not an easy place to go. But do you hear the need? Isn't there a cause? It's not convenient to do. Hey, here's all I'm saying. In churches like ours, we have got to come to the place, even though our name is not on the prayer card and we're not getting on the boat or not getting on the plane and we're not going to that place, we must have the gift of helps, because the cause is our cause and the need is as much on our heart as it is theirs, and the responsibility, we are as accountable to God for the souls in Fiji, the Muslims in New York City, and those in Australia. We are as accountable to God for those souls as these three families. And at some point, we've got to say, I got to get up and get out of this ditch. I got to go over these walls and get down in that valley. And I've got to do what God is leading me to do. It's never been convenient to go. It isn't convenient to sacrifice. It isn't convenient to to give up what we'd love to have? We expect it of them. Should we not expect it of ourselves? And here's the truth. God is calling on us as members of Fellowship Baptist Church to say, been a tough year, but I serve a God who is able to make me abound to every good work, and I'm going to increase. I will be the cause that we can send these. I will be the cause in praying for them that they can confront what they're going to face. I will be the cause by contacting them and communicating with them that they will be encouraged. I will be the cause that we keep a missionary spirit in our church. I will be the cause that my children understand what missionaries are and have the opportunity for their heart to be touched of God. I will be the cause. And we go from spectator to participator. We live in a generation where we want to have less and less expected of us in our walk with God. Churches are cutting services down to one a week, maybe. And most of that, we had a church up in Northern Virginia that advertised 12-minute sermons. I can't tell you who I am in 12 minutes. We had another church that advertised not a sermon, just a thought, as if there's something wrong with a sermon. We go and 45 or 50 minutes of it is praise to ourselves, making us feel better for ourselves. I don't go there, and I know you don't either. But I'm just telling you, to have a church like this, where it takes three to thrive, and where there's ministry, and where there's accountability, and where there's challenge, it's unusual, it's rare, it's good. And now we've got to make the decision, am I going to be a participator? The songwriter put it this way, and with this I'll close. By and by, when I look on His face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. More, more, so much more. More of my love than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. None of us will ever stand before God and say, you know, if I had it all to do over again, I don't think I'd do as much at church. I don't think I'd give my life. I think I'd hold back on my resources. We could have really enjoyed some vacations. I could have bought new fishing poles. I don't think anyone will stand there, but every one of us will stand in that moment as we are accountable to God and say, remember that missions conference in 2020 when COVID just had everything messed up? I wish I'd have given more. Remember when the Holy Spirit visited our hearts and we were kind of stirred up and we knew God was saying for us to do something, to make a point of surrender to Him, and we just kind of backed up and we did what was convenient instead of what He called for? I wish we'd have given Him more. And so, folks, here's what I'm saying. If a man hears the gospel, he can call on the Lord. But for him to hear the gospel, somebody's got to go preach the gospel. And that's God's heart, but it's our responsibility. And this missions conference is an opportunity. They've surrendered. They're going. This missions conference is an opportunity for us to say, I can do more. Because I know when I face Him, I'll wish I had given him more. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask you to work in our hearts. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty, but I am trying to make people understand the blessing that they have in being saved. And there's a world that desperately needs their Savior. And Lord, we are debtors to the world. And I pray in this service that you would just lay the foundation for this conference, that this conference is us meeting you, Holy Spirit, with a heart that is open to giving more, to doing more, because we see the need. And because we're going to be participators, we are going to be the cause. Oh, what we may give in increase may not be enough to accomplish great things, but when we make the decision to increase, and someone else makes the decision to increase, and someone else makes the decision to increase, it is enough. And when we decide to be more urgent in prayer and someone else decides to be more urgent in prayer, it does matter. And when we decide to be more tuned in to a missions program and to become an encouragement to missionaries and to teach that truth to our children, it does make a difference, a little at a time. So, Lord, I pray that each and every person in this room this morning would make a decision that they would become a participant. And, Lord, I pray then as well for this crowd that you would expose to them the truth that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there may be someone in this room today who wandered into this church not knowing it was Missions Conference Sunday, but they have a need in their heart. And that need is not going to be met in a religion that man has put forth. It's not going to be met in acquiring more things. It's not going to be met in them developing their own philosophy of what should be good enough. It'll only be met when they realize that Jesus Christ loved them enough to die for them, to take their sin upon himself. And if they will believe and receive and call on him, his righteousness can be put upon them. So, Lord, I ask you to work, and I pray that you would begin to speak to hearts in this room this morning. Just before I conclude my prayer, let me ask this question. Just by a simple uplifted hand, I wonder how many would say, you know, preacher, I'm willing to pray this prayer. God, will you help me do more? Will you help me to see the need in such a way that I will do more? Would you lift your hand up? I'm willing to do more. God bless you. God bless you. Man, that's nearly the whole room. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I'm here this morning and I don't know for sure that Christ is my Savior, but I'm willing today to at least have someone present to me that plan of salvation. I just know there's a need in my heart. Can I pray with you? If you're here this morning and you know Christ is your Savior, you know where you took Him as Savior, and you know what scriptures, you know what you believed, would you slip your hand up just as a way of testimony? I know Christ is my Savior. Yeah, most every hand, but not every hand. If you couldn't slip your hand up just then, I wonder, listen, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you're from or what you are today. Jesus Christ can save you. If I can pray with you about that, would you slip your hand up? If you're here, you're not sure. I don't know if I'm saved, preacher. But I'm willing for God to at least have an opportunity to speak to me. Would you slip your hand up where I can see it? Anyone at all? Father, this is our foundation message. And I pray that you would speak to us about doing what is needed to be done to get missionaries to the field. We have the message. missionaries are willing to go, but they must be sent because people must hear. So Lord, if we are truly Bible believers, may we begin to pray and purpose in our heart not to do less, but to do more. Because when we meet you, we will wish we had done more. Would you quietly stand to your feet? Preacher, I